Simon from On the White, and here we are in Newport, and we're with
Will Miles, the managing director of Visit Isle of Wight.
Now, Will, relatively new to the role.
5 months in.
Right, okay. It's 5 months. That's zoomed past.
Tell me about it. It has zoomed past, absolutely. Okay.
And how have you, feet under the table, now I guess you've got an overview of how things are and where you want to take them?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've come in, I've been looking at all the plans that we've been put in place, tweaking a few bits here and there, but subsequently really looking at 2019, taking it forward. The plans were in place. There's no point me looking at that or changing that. So it's about 2019, effectively. So campaigns coming into place around about Christmas time.
I guess with the stuff that was there in place already, the stuff that you like and stuff that you're going to change, what were the best bits that you found in place already?
Well, to be fair, the campaigns themselves are well in place, so lots of things like we're doing a lot of work on social media, a lot of work on our brand marketing campaigns at Waterloo there. So for me, these are big plans that didn't need any tweaking or changing. They're there to actually sell the island, because that's our job really, it's selling off island and telling people about why they should come to the island.
I think that's well worth bringing up, isn't it? Because there is a confusion from businesses on the island that think that because they don't see Visit Isle of Wight marketing on the island, that things aren't being done. But of course, as you just pointed out, your point, get everyone from everywhere else to the island, and then marketing campaigns here, not by Visit Isle of Wight, then take care of that.
Absolutely. If you're sitting here on the island and seeing the marketing campaigns that we're putting out, then you shouldn't be. You are not our target market here on the island. We take it off island. I mean, I'm quite clear in what my job is and leading this organisation. Take the Isle of Wight off the island, tell people about the amazing things that we've got here and bring them onto the island. And then it's down to hotels, accommodations, attractions, all these different things that to do the marketing here to actually move people around on the island.
Reading through your background, you've got quite a lot of experience of bringing people from different parts of the UK to take part in cruising and ships across the water, yeah. P&O stuff.
Yeah, I worked for P&O Ferries for 10 years. I started off in the north of England, so looking after the Hull to Rotterdam and Zeebrugge routes. That was all about destination marketing, taking them to places like Amsterdam, Rotterdam, Bruges, Ypres, all these sort of things. So worked for a long time doing that, but also the flip side of that, I've also worked on the continent, in Holland, Belgium, Germany, actually doing it the reverse side of that and using the UK as the destination, so working with people like Kent, working with the Isle of Wight, right. in a long and distant past for me, and bringing them onto into the UK.
That's interesting, because I normally think of island visitors as coming from the UK, but you're thinking maybe beyond that. Although walking around Newport today, I heard quite a few different accents.
Yeah, absolutely. At the moment, our stats from last year are telling us that 6% of people who visit the island are not UK, are from continental Europe and from further afield as well.
Interesting.
I'd like to grow that.
Is that a target then?
Yeah, it will be going forward, looking at how we can grow that, yes.
Okay.
Not quite sure which countries yet. We're going to be quite focused, but certainly I think the Benelux countries are ideal for here, camping, walking, cycling. These are key things that we have here that market is looking for.
Well, that's an interesting idea. What do you see 5 months in? I know you've been working here with UKSA already, so you've got island experience. What do you see, the 5 things that you can sell about the Isle of Wight to people coming to visit?
I could probably go more than 5. Yeah, but
top 5.
Certainly, it's the arts, culture, heritage that we have. It's the bucket and spade seaside holiday that we have. It's also about sustainable travel, so things like walking and cycling. And it's also about visiting beautiful towns with great food and drink offerings. So that's kind of it in a nutshell, really. But it does go wider than that.
So how do you get that across to somebody? You've got to grab their attention when they're, I don't know, walking through a station in Birmingham, New Street. You've got to sell all that in one go. How do you start to do that?
That's the challenge, and something marketing campaigns have to have stopping power. Yes, for people to see that. And for 2019, that's what we're aiming for, is to have that stopping power so people can stop and go, wow, yeah, I want to do that. And that's what we're aiming for.
Okay. So you got thoughts in your head, but yet to be divulged.
Well, we're working on it. Myself and the team are working on that at the moment. So we've got some creative people coming up with some ideas as to what to do. We've got some ideas about where we want to be and promoting with that, and the messaging that we want to do. And what we'll take that once we've tweaked it and made it a little bit, make it a bit more shiny around the edges. Take that then to our bid levy payers, take that to our strategic partners, and see how they feel about that and how they can actually get involved with all of that.
It is a slightly different world from how it was before with the bid partners, isn't it? That you then have to refer, previously I guess it was the board that was referred to by your predecessor, and latterly then the bid side, but that idea of presenting an idea, and they then have a say on whether they think that's the right way to go, do they?
Well, I think they should, because ultimately they're paying into the marketing of the island. You know, the money is coming in, and we use that money sensibly to get the best return on the investment. But people have got to be engaged with us, and be engaged with us and tell us what you think, because, you know, I can sit here in the Guild Hall and have my ideas, but these people are out there doing it every day. They're coalface people. Doing it every single day, and their ideas are, you sometimes just get that little pearl from someone that comes and you go, yeah, I never thought of that, and that's what you've got to look at. So yeah, get involved with us.
I mean, that has been historically, there was some resistance to the switch to the bid, where people felt that perhaps, well, they didn't like the idea of paying. I guess everywhere, not everyone likes the idea of paying for everything, but that was the only reality, was it?
Well, yeah, at the time, that was the only reality. I mean, I've had previous experience of actually being a bid levy payer myself in a previous job, and you know what? It actually works, and it brings that money in, and it actually, you know, money doesn't grow on trees, yeah? You've got to get that money to be able to do the marketing that we want to do. And our job, as I said before, is off-island. So we're talking to people off-island, and that's our job to actually to do that. But we've got to have the money to do that, and we're trying to get the best return for that. So we're using more digital work. So we're using more social media. Yet there is still a place for brand awareness campaigns at key hubs. But it's about getting that bang for your buck, because when you sit in a competitive set along the sides of people like Devon, Cornwall, Yorkshire, Scotland, you know, they've got huge, massive budgets that they have to spend. We don't. We have the bid levy payers plus some of the money that comes from our strategic partners, so the ferry operators and people like English Heritage, Victus Ventures, things like that.
So with the online side, the social side, well, let's put the social side for the side, because I'm sure everyone understands that.
But you would say okay. That. I'm not sure that everyone does get
Go
it.
Go ahead.
Yeah. I think people should be more engaging with what we do.
Right. What does that explain to be then?
So, for example, it's okay us posting an image saying, here's Colwell Bay, isn't it beautiful? But it's about then the conversation that comes after that. It's about trying to engage with individuals or with other businesses on the island, saying, "Well, hold on, what about us here down at Ryde? What about us here at East Cowes? What about us here in Compton?" Yeah, it's about having that social engagement, and what that does is that then engages with the community who's engaged as well. Using a lot of words, engagement.
That's fine.
But
what it's about.
Yeah, they're then engaging with the holidaymakers, potential holidaymakers, who are saying, yeah, I didn't know all of that took place. So there's that conversation taking place. And
so
also,
you pin an idea and then other areas and then chip in to that.
It's a conversation.
The social side.
It's a conversation.
And then they get the person, the member of the public looking at it gets a more full picture of what's available.
I mean, you guys, you have that conversation with your readers, yeah, and they're actually looking at that and posting certain things on there. It's a conversation, and that also helps with traffic, and it also helps with the Google Analytics about where people then can go to get more information. So it's people think, yeah, social, just leave that. No, I don't think so. Social, let's make it work harder for us.
Okay. I mean, these days, are you finding with social that you're having to put money in to promote your Facebook posts because your distribution is getting strangled by Facebook?
It's not getting. I don't see it getting strangled. We're working out and using and being smarter in what we do. As I said before, that post and leaving that there was fine maybe 6 or 8 months ago. It's not now. So we're using competition stuff. Why don't you try and win something and come to the island? It's all about being more engaging. Mm-hmm. Facebook itself has changed, yes, but yeah. and we do pay boost costs, and we do pay for sponsored links, all that sort of stuff, mm-hmm. but not massively.
Yeah, I guess, well, these days the costs of it are relatively small, aren't they?
Yeah.
I guess the danger is becoming addicted to them,
yeah,
which is the danger, isn't it?
Yeah, but it becomes relatively small costs compared to what we're doing in relatively larger costs on a brand campaign. Mm-hmm. So you've kind of got to weigh up what's actually happening and what's actually coming back from it. It's all about return on investment.
Mm-hmm. So with the bid side, do you think people are... The people who pay into the bid are now generally settled? I guess you'll always have extreme enthusiasts and a small percentage of detractors on the high end. But the majority, do you think that they're now happy with the way the bid works?
I think the vast majority are. As you quite rightly say, there will always be the high engagers, and there will always be some people who just don't want to engage and don't think it's the right thing. But that's the democracy that we live in.
Yeah. And that's bid is the way forward from now on, is it? There's not another change coming? Or?
Not that I know of currently. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're looking at the bid has another 3 years to run.
Okay.
So this is currently year two. We're just about to move into year three of a 5-year bid. So that's where we are at the minute. Possibly in another 12 months' time, we'll be looking at do we follow it down, or do we look at a different route, or how do we do that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but that's not, nothing's nailed on or doing that at the moment.
Do you want to give a little bit of background as to how you got here? I sort of touched on it earlier, but...
So I left uni as a mature student back in 1994. I worked at a stately home in just north of Harrogate, and a place called Ripley Castle. Beautiful little place. I lived in a little estate cottage. It was all lovely, yeah? And then I moved up and went and actually worked as a trade marketing manager, so working with the coach groups and travel agents and group travel organisers market for Yorkshire Tourist Board. So I actually worked for a tourist board for 5 years based in York, and from there went to work for P&O Ferries.
Are they based near there? Or
P&O Ferries were based in Hull at the time.
Okay.
The northern routes. So I was a route manager for the northern routes. And after that, I got promoted within the company and became the onboard marketing controller. Sounds a bit...
It's a grand title.
Oh, it was great. I had to have one of these fold-out business cards for that one, yeah, because of what I did. But that was about selling the message of what was on board. Yeah, as to people, so they could make the informed decision: do they go with P&O or do they go with another company? So it's about changing perceptions about ferry travel and what you can do on board. Worked a little bit on the continent with P&O as well, inbound, and eventually left there. And I worked for a big Dutch tour operator in mobile home and camping on the continent. So Europe's number one camping and mobile home tour operator. Not Britain's, I hasten to add, but Europe's. So, but I was looking at it from the UK perspective. And then after a wee bit of time out, I came down and went to UKSA. So I was 4 years at UKSA. Great times, loved it there. Still got lots of good friends there. And then this job came up, and I thought, it seems as though everything, it's like an increase in what you're doing over a period of time.
Uh-huh.
I would like to do that, and I think that would be a really good position to be in. So applied for that, interviewed, got it, here
yeah.
I am.
Right.
family live on the island. And say, we live in East Cowes, which is great. This is home for us. Yeah, we've moved from Yorkshire to here. So, we live in the island and we think it's great. It's a brilliant pace of life and I just love it here.
I mean, one of the things that always comes up to do with tourism is, of course, the ferries. And have you got a view on whether you think the prices are right or there's an opportunity? I guess there's the price of the ferries for the islanders, which isn't really your concern, apart from a personal concern of getting out
of me getting off the island.
Yeah. But for the tourists, do tourists, I mean, I'm sure you've done research on this, do tourists consider the ferry as an expense, or is it just part of, well, we've got to get there? You know, you take a plane or you take a boat or...
I think it's seen as part of the holiday. It's that infamous, your holiday starts as soon as you step on board. Costs is an interesting part of it all, because I've kind of been on that side of it all, looking at costs, and it's a supply and demand model for ferries. So, you know, you have to do it right for yourself, and people need to research and get the best prices for themselves. Mm-hmm. It's a bit like airline modelling. It's a bit like EasyJet pricing. You've got to put the work in to get the best possible deal. Mm-hmm. So, you know, coming to the island, it's there are deals to be had.
So you don't think the cost of the ferry is an issue for people visiting?
No, I don't think it is at all. I think it's part of the holiday.
Yeah.
I think it's part of...
it's like
part
a
of
cleansing
people...
experience of leaving the mainland and having your worries washed away on the way over.
How many people can get on board a ferry and go on their holidays? Yeah, all the people who go to continental Europe, yes. But you're doing that in the UK. You're coming here on holiday. You arrive at Southampton, or you arrive at Lymington, or you arrive at Portsmouth or Southsea to get on board. You get on board there, and as it goes away, ooh, this is nice. And we actually just get you get on board. So I think it's part of the holiday. And getting the kids out of the car, for example, letting them see the sea, letting them be part of it. And I think that's really important.
What about, are you talking about kids there? It made me think about connectivity on the island, internet connectivity, that parents probably come away and think, well, it's great because we get the kids away, can get them away from internet connections. Or it's variable around the island, isn't
yeah,
it? Sometimes
yeah.
you get good mobile reception. A lot of the times it's pretty bad.
Yeah, I mean...
Is that an issue that needs addressing? That you could take
up with the mobile
companies?
Yeah, I mean, the council themselves are looking at... they're developing into these... and looking at this 5G
I think it's
project.
Been shelved now, that one.
Oh, has it?
Yeah.
Maybe it's a watch this space, I don't know.
Okay.
But they're talking about that sort of stuff, and there's the council working on sort of making the island a bit more digitally enhanced, all that sort of stuff. But getting away and getting away from your devices can be quite good.
It's a sales pitch in itself.
But equally, having that part of still being able to be connected is still there.
Mm.
You know, I can go down and sit on East Coast Seafront, and I'm sitting there on my phone on 4G.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's pretty cool. And you're able to do, sit and do a bit of work or whatever you need to do. But, you know, I think that the island itself has a lot to offer, and it's got a lot to offer for people who either want that connectivity or don't, because there's room for all.
Well, I guess it's quite an interesting idea to map where the bad zones are and then sell that to people as home as holidays of get away from connectivity.
Yeah. Never quite thought of it like that.
Well,
but
you can have that for free.
You can have that for free. Thanks for that. Yeah, but it might be a good idea to do that. You know, I've been away on holiday with a family where there's no electricity in the tents that we've stayed in, and we've just gone for it, and that's what you've just got to do. But equally, I've got older kids who, when I booked a holiday this year, first one is it good Wi-Fi?
It is the first thought, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
But that's what you get for having a 17 and a 15-year-old.
Right, yeah. I guess that social connection becomes important to them.
It does.
Things like Snapchat make them, if they don't connect for a day, then they lose something called a streak, i.e. connectivity connections every day. It's, and that can be apparently quite harrowing to lose, my daughter tells me.
Yeah, I've never quite looked at it that way either, but yeah, so I suspect it can if you're that age. Yeah, I suspect it can.
Yeah. So what's, if you're saying 2019,
yeah,
big exciting things being planned currently, is there anything that we're going to see that you'll have had your hand on this year, do you think?
Well, as I say, I mean, I've had my hand on everything since I came into the business, but, you know, the plan was there, the plan was in place. I'm just, tweaking a little bit, having a second pair of eyes at what we're doing, maybe tweaking a few bits for this year. You know, we've got some great events coming up, which obviously we need to consider. You know, next Saturday it's UK Pride. Wow, that's a huge opportunity for this island, in so much as looking at people coming and enjoying Pride, but then coming back and having a nice break with their partners later on in the year when, you know, when there's that nice warm roaring fire in the pub and having a few beers or whatever. So it's, yeah, there's that. 2019 is sort of our year, as it were. So the development of the campaigns will be from there. That's a kind of watch this space at the moment. You won't see them probably until late November time, as before they're actually going out. There's lots of work and stages in there. We don't just sit and come up with things, you know. We put
there's planning.
Yeah, there's planning. There's research. There's things that we've got to do ahead of it all.
Okay,
brilliant. So it's cool.
Good. Is there anything I've missed out? What should I have asked you that I haven't asked you?
No, I think you've got everything really. Racing Council of Whittledown ride slide on Sunday morning.
Okay.
Well, we're doing a timed one because you can't both go on, so let's see who's the fastest down ride slide on Sunday morning.
You got much experience in sliding down?
No, absolutely not. But that probably makes me the favourite.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, because apparently Wayne's got a few tactics up his sleeve.
Right, I imagine so.
Yeah, which will probably mean holding on to my legs just as I start to run. Yeah,
or elastic bands attached.
Having something that's gonna make my sort of blow up break down halfway down. Yeah. he's sneaky like that.
So that's on the same time as Pride, is it?
That's on a Sunday. So Pride's a Saturday. Yeah, Ride Slide's
a
Sunday.
As a follow on. Right.
Yeah. So it'll be quite good.
Okay. Brilliant.
Okay. Thanks for that. Nice to see you.